Welcome to the Moves Room, everybody. The OG3 is here. Brad is driving, so we'll see how much we hear from him. Emily is here and in her home, in her studio, with her bedazzled microphone. So she'll be hopefully speaking a lot.
I plan to. I got lots to say.
Perfect. This is an old school episode. We are going to go straight potpourri. Stuff we want to catch up on at the end of summer. We got to recap a little bit of the state fair. Got to get everyone in the right mindset as we go into fall when it comes to harvest. There's lots of safety things to talk about on that front. We've got H5N1 updates. We got just all sorts of things to talk about. So it is truly a potpourri episode.
Yes. And you know, I love a good potpourri. Potpourri.
Potpourri.
You know, potpourri can go off the rails quite quickly. Brad just does what he wants, remember?
Well, yes, that is the risk we run, but it's been long enough that I have, you know, those wounds have healed, so we can try it again.
Hey, well, this episode's all about Emily today. It's all about Emily.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to get some other stuff out of the way so we can just make it the Emily show from there on out.
That's what the people want. It's what the people want.
Yeah, potpourri, I do what I want.
Yes.
All right, so let's get some of the H5N1 stuff out of the way. There's not a ton to report. California, though, is officially positive. That's a big dairy state. As far as I know, the cases are all fairly close together, exactly where you'd think in dairy country in California. And knowing how hot it is in California, how sunny it's been, it kind of gives me a little pause thinking about we were supposed to be in a lull for the summer when it comes to influenza, because influenza does not like hot, sunny weather. But we're still seeing it. And it has slowed down, at least official cases have slowed down. But I mean, it gives me a little pause because I wonder what's going to happen as we go into fall and the weather becomes more conducive to influenza cases. Will it cause a huge spike or not? We're kind of in a waiting period right now to see what's going on. I think a lot of people are hoping it just goes away, doesn't not come back. And that's fine, but we do need to be prepared for if it does come back, what are we going to do? And if it's really bad, we have to not bury our heads in the sand too much if we want to be on top of this thing. The only other thing that, is it a development? Is it not? USDA released a letter from the CVB, the Center for Veterinary Biologics. We kind of got into some of that talk with MedGene last couple episodes. But they are now looking to do field trials and testing of vaccines for H5N1. So that is out as well. Just further development in vaccine development for cattle. No mention of poultry in that document, which I think is really important as well. Questions before we move on to other things?
Not a question, of course, but a comment, a reminder of sorts, just as we, you know, are hearing like not much of an update on H5N1, but it is still a thing that is happening. And, you know, as of the time of recording, the state fair ended yesterday. So most of the summer shows are wrapped up, but we still have World Dairy Expo and that coming up. So just a reminder for biosecurity, if you had animals at the fair, you know, quarantine them, wash and sanitize every piece of equipment you had at the fair. You know, just be mindful. And that is not just for H5N1, but for, you know, a whole host of organisms that like to travel home from fairs and shows. So just a reminder for biosecurity.
Absolutely. You know, it doesn't have to be H5N1. There's all sorts of things that you do not want to bring home from the fair. So very good point, Em. Let's move on. We need to recap the state fair. Emily just mentioned it. I made it there only one day, which is very unusual for me. I usually get there quite a bit more than that, but only got there one day. I had a great time. Went through some of the cattle barns, went through the pig barn, did not go to the poultry barn this year. Stopped by the Miracle Birth Center, had an excellent time, had some good food, you know, did the classics. I'm a classics person. Got to go to the Mousetrap, get the cheese curds. As far as I'm concerned, that's the only place you get cheese curds at the fair.
Agreed.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Bradley, can we get a consensus on this? Bradley's muted and driving. and his network is struggling, as is
Bradley. That's not all that's struggling.
I can hear you. I got you. That's the only place to get them. That's it. And I had a lot of them.
Perfect.
I'm also just going to briefly be that guy. It's actually called the mouth trap, not the mouse trap. It's a clever play on words, which, you know, here at the newsroom, I enjoy.
You sound like my daughter.
On a nose.
An actually moment with Emily.
You're welcome, everyone. I guarantee you somebody was listening and they were going, it's called the mouth trap. Why are they saying it wrong? So
you're right.
I have used that listener's worries. I got you.
You're right. It is called the mouth trap, and there's a giant mouse on the sign.
But outside of cheese curds, what else on the state fair?
Oh, outside of cheese curds, we can get into the Pronto Pup corn dog debate if we want to. It's corn dogs all day.
It's not. It's Pronto Pups. It's Pronto Pups.
I knew we could not agree on everything. That's a good sign.
And I'm actually exactly. Not going to be a tiebreaker here because I am completely neutral.
You can't be neutral on this.
I am. I like both. They're both good. They both have their merits.
That's like you saying, like, I like Holsteins and Jerseys the same. That's not true. You can't do that. But. Yeah, see? You can't do that.
All right. I'll be honest. If I had to pick, I would go Pronto Pup.
Oh, thank you.
Absolute garbage answer.
I got you.
Whatever. Let's stop talking about food. I'm getting hungry.
All right. So did you do or see anything, Joe, with any of the livestock, 4-H stuff?
It was nice to go as just a spectator this year and just kind of watch everything in a different context. It was really fun. My wife volunteered at the Miracle Birth Center, so she did that piece and got to sit there and, you know, it's always funny what people ask, right?
Oh, yeah.
You'd think that you get prepared to answer all these complex questions. You don't ever answer any complex questions. I think the easiest spot to sit is that you sit with a baby goat that's sleeping on your lap. And the most common question you get, is that a sheep or a goat? That's the most common question you get. Then the second question you get is, what's its name? And after that, there's really no hard questions that you answer.
I would say also, because you mentioned the you know, the goat kid is usually sleeping. Is it sleeping?
Exactly.
Yep.
Yes, you're right. Is it sleeping?
Yeah.
Is that a sheep or a goat?
Is it sleeping? Yeah. What's its name?
It's not complicated questions.
No.
But yeah, it's a fun time to be there and just kind of watch everyone enjoy things that they, and clearly see some people that are experiencing agriculture for the only time they do all year. Like my favorite thing to watch is like, okay, if you walk through the cattle barn and you get a heifer or a cow that starts bellering or mooing, half the people that are close by are terrified and have no idea what to do. And half the people run as close as they can get to start filming and taking selfies with this cow that's mooing. It's very interesting to watch everyone's reaction to things that are, you know, we have all seen so many times that it's just very commonplace. It's fun to see everyone have a very new reaction to something that is commonplace.
Did you know that there was a baby calf born during the 4-H weekend at the state fair?
I did not know that.
The breeding date was probably off a little bit, and voila, one, I think it was Sunday morning, there was a baby calf there from a dry cow that was brought to the fair. And of course, there's nothing like trailering a dry cow all over the place and walking her in the show ring to induce calving.
Did she end up staying or did she leave?
They let her go that morning, tested her and let her go.
It happens.
I was going to say, that is not the first time a dry cow has come home not a dry cow. So.
Oh, yeah.
That is correct.
The trailering, the stress, the movement. I mean, yeah, you can't blame them. All right, enough state fair.
Oh, no, we are not done with the state fair yet. Oh, goodness. No.
I thought we could move on, but no.
A few key things I want to mention. First, and everybody knows kind of one of my favorite things about the state fair is Princess Kay and the finalists getting their heads carved in butter and all of that. So we at the Moose Room do want to give a big shout out and congratulations to Rachel Visser of McLeod County. She is the newly crowned Princess Kay of the Milky Way. You know, very involved family in dairy. Her dad is a nutritionist. So shout out to Barry. I think all of us here know him well and have worked with him in the past. So congratulations to Rachel and to all of the finalists. It was a really outstanding group this year, and it was really fun to see them out and about at the fair. And promoting dairy, and Rachel was still in 4-H, so she was actually not able to show her heifer due to her Princess K duties. One of her sisters stepped in, so it was great to see her heifer also do very well in the 4-H dairy show as well. So congratulations to the whole Visser family, and shout out to all the Princess K finalists, and congratulations to them for joining the Butterhead Club.
Brad, you got highlights from the fair?
Of course. Besides helping with a lot of the 4-H stuff, one thing that we've talked about before is the dairy showcase. My son made the dairy showcase with his Guernsey heifer.
Woo!
She was the total merit champion of the Guernsey show, so yay. So he's pretty happy about that. I think we're all pretty happy about making the showcase. So that was sort of the highlight of his state fair experience. The rest is just a blur.
Yeah, but I will say Brad's son Caleb did awesome. I was very fortunate that the Guernseys show in the ring that I work in at the show. So I got to see Caleb's, you know, winning moments, and got to play a little paparazzi, took some pictures of him for his parents. And yeah, it's always fun to watch all of the kids. You know, Brad and I both help with the interview process the kids have to do as a part of their trip. And then we get to see them at the show on Saturday and doing great things at the showcase on Sunday. So it's really cool to kind of get to watch the kids', you know, full state fair experience unfold, since we get to kind of be there for all the big steps along the way. So yeah, well done to Caleb and to all the 4-H'ers. It's my favorite thing of the state fair, you know, besides Butterheads, is just getting to hang out with those kids and watch them do great things and help one another. And yeah, it was really, really a great time. So congratulations to all the kids. Shout out to all the parents and friends and family that make it possible, that hold things down at home, or that, you know, haul up hay. All those things matter. And of course, shout out to our incredible 4-H staff, 4-H dairy showrunners. Now I can't think of their names, Pam and Marsha. Thank you, Pam and Marsha. Gosh, it's always such a spectacular show. And we moved over 420 head through that show seamlessly, for the most part, I would say. So yeah, it's always a great thing to both see and be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, we can't say enough for the 4-H staff. A lot that goes into the fair that happens way before the fair starts. And then the days of the fair that are 4-H centric, I mean, they are running ragged. So I can't say enough for how much they do. It's amazing. And all the other extension people that are not technically 4-H that show up and help out, everyone comes out of the woodwork during the state fair to help with all that stuff, because there's so much that needs to happen, and it is heavily volunteer based. All right, can we move on from the state fair now?
I think so. I think it's all out of my system.
All right, Emily. Emily has got the state fair out, except for the crud. Everyone's still got a little state fair crud. Well, it's fall. You know, I mean, wherever the actual official fall line falls, I mean, September. When we start thinking fall, it's September now, and it sneaks up on us quick. Kids are back in school, and it's time to start thinking about making sure we have everything in place to have a safe harvest. So, I mean, we harp on this every year, but I think everyone needs to be reminded of the basics.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing, and I'm actually not sure, for some folks it might already be started, you know, corn silage harvest happens first. So that's kind of the first thing that I think about is, you know, a safe harvest season is going to start with safe corn silage harvest, I think. And, you know, we've been cutting hay all throughout the summer and that. So, you know, key things with that, because the place where we run into issues is equipment breakdowns, from my perspective, you know, and that's where people get hurt because they're in a rush. So they're going too fast. They maybe don't turn equipment off. So just some of those reminders to perform some of that equipment maintenance now, you know, pull everything out of the shed, take a look at it. I would recommend giving it a little wash, you know, spray it off, get that dust off. You know, we are fortunately not super dry this year, but that dust can still get hot and ignite. So there's still always a fire risk. So, you know, keep that type of stuff in mind too. And also just think about what you are going to do for your people, including yourself. What is our plan for meals? Are we going to have enough water available for folks? Are we able to give people, you know, a quick 5-minute break here and there so they can stretch their legs for safety? And even I did it myself, right? I went straight to equipment. But it starts with the people. And so that is obviously something I need to remind myself of too. You know, think of the people first, but keeping your people safe includes keeping your equipment safe and ready to go as well. There's so much to think about, but yeah, I would kind of start with those two things. How will the people be safe and how can we keep the equipment safe for them?
Yeah, and we've talked a lot about, especially during silage harvest, you know, you've taught me like how important visibility is. Right. I mean, we're talking about sometimes, especially around silage time, you just need hands, especially if you're throwing tires by hand. Yeah. I mean, you just need people. And sometimes those people are high school kids. Sometimes they're people that may or may not be super familiar with the operation, but they're bodies that can throw a tire. I think visibility, we've talked about a lot. Mm-hmm. Vests, eyewear, just with how dusty it can be. I mean, that stuff, you can start pulling all that together as you contact your crew that's going to be on site.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really great reminder too, Joe, is, you know, especially for silage and you're packing piles, everybody should have a high-vis vest and everybody should have safety glasses. I will say those are items that you can get pretty affordably if you just look online, or, you know, your local hardware stores and stuff should also have some of those items available, probably not as many options, but something's better than nothing. I have seen leaves go into people's eyes. And thankfully, it's never happened to me, but watching it is not pleasant either. So yeah, protect those eyes. And you're right, Joe, people are running around and maybe not everybody is at the same experience level or even comfort level. So putting those high-vis vests on everybody, you know, helps you denote to each other that these are all people helping. They're all people that are a part of this team. So that's who I communicate with. And yes, especially helps the people that are in the tractors see where you are. That's a big piece. Absolutely.
All right. So equipment, we've got people covered for silage. What about roads? I mean, we've got tractors everywhere and they're starting to move around. What are you looking at there?
Right. You read my mind, Joseph. I love it. Yes. So the other big piece with this is roadway safety. Tractors are going to be on the roads. And as Joe mentioned, you know, it's also back to school. So we got school buses on our rural roads as well. Along with just the general vehicular traffic we get as well. And so, you know, from the farmer's perspective, if you are going on the road, it does not matter the time of day, your flashers should be on. So as you're doing those maintenance checks on your equipment, check your electrical on your tractors and your equipment as well. Make sure your flashers work. Make sure you have slow moving vehicle emblems. That's the orange and red triangle. Those should be affixed to the tractor as well as the equipment. They both need one on them legally. So, you know, making, you know, sure that you are as visible as possible and, you know, just being a mindful driver, you know, sharing the road. We need to remember some people, again, aren't as used to being around equipment, maybe don't quite know how to react to farm equipment on the road. So if it's a thing where you're making a turn on and you can totally make it before that car crosses you, maybe just wait and let the car get in front of you right away before you turn. It's going to add a little extra time to you, but it's going to make things safer for both you and that driver, reduce stress for both you and that driver. So being mindful of that. And to our listeners out there, I know we have folks like us that work in ag. You know, we're maybe not the ones driving the tractors, but just a reminder that as you see a tractor, those slow moving vehicle emblems do denote that it cannot travel over 30 miles per hour. So if you're going 60, you know, on a state highway and you see a tractor up ahead, just remind yourself it really is going that slow. You know, kind of the most common vehicle farm equipment accidents are vehicles rear-ending farm equipment from behind because they just don't get slowed down fast enough because we are not very great judges of, you know, that distance and how quickly we'll make it up. So, you know, again, both as a tractor operator or a person driving a car on the road, just be very aware of what's going on and be very mindful that farm equipment does not go 60 miles per hour. And you may need to be stuck behind something going 30 or 25 miles per hour for a little bit. Do not pass unless it is a safe passing zone and you know it is clear. The best way to see that it is clear is to be a safe distance away from the farm equipment as well, not right up behind it and then kind of trying to see what's coming. You know, give yourself and them plenty of space. That's, yeah. Last fall, we had a few fatal accidents that were vehicle and tractors involved together. So just be very, very mindful, you know, and be sure to remind your loved ones as well. You know, hey, don't forget, it's kind of harvest season. Look out for tractors. You know, we always say, maybe you guys have heard this too, right? But in Minnesota or in Midwest, like we say, I love you by saying watch for deer when people leave. So, you know, put an E on the end of that. Watch for the deers, the John Deeres, you know, watch for tractors as well. I think that's another great reminder, you know, watch for deer and look out for tractors. That should be the new Midwest. I love you. Watch for tractors.
I used to spend a lot of time on the, I still spend a lot of time on the road, but I used to spend a lot of time on the road every day when I was in practice. And I saw some crazy things, with people and tractors passing on the shoulder, doing all sorts of really dumb things.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that's worth it. You can't be doing that. And I always try to remind people, hey, just think about this. And I think about this also with anybody who's driving truck, right? If you see a semi on the road, they're at work. That farmer is at work. They're working right now. This is their job. You have to think of it that way. And I think for most Midwestern people, it allows you a little more courtesy. They're not out for a joyride doing 30 on the highway. They're at work, right? So respect the fact that they're just doing their job. They're on the road at work. And if you put it in that frame of mind, I think a lot of people become a little more courteous, right?
I love that. I've never thought of it that way before. And now I am stealing that and telling it to everybody. I love to reframe it that way. That, yeah, these are people that are at work. And think about how you like to be treated when you're trying to do your work. You need space, you need respect, you need courtesy. Love that. Love that.
As always, when we get into fall, we're talking about a lot of moving parts, and there's all sorts of things that are moving around the farm and places that people need to go. Smaller vehicles come in the mix, right? Whether it's a side-by-side or a four-wheeler, we can't get through a safety conversation in the fall. Dirt bikes, too. A lot of people check fields with dirt bikes. Give us the spiel, Em, on safety related to smaller equipment that's just as or maybe more dangerous.
For these types of things, I will use the word machine. So when I say your machine, it could, yes, be a dirt bike, an ATV, a side-by-side, a Ranger. You know, people use a lot of different phrases for different things, a UTV. So if the machine has a seatbelt, that means you should be wearing it. If something has a seatbelt, it is not optional. It means you are supposed to wear it while operating that machine or piece of equipment. So that is my first thing. If it has a seatbelt, wear it. If it doesn't have a seatbelt, you should have a helmet on. And I will say, even if it does have a seatbelt, you should also have a helmet on. But especially if it doesn't, you should have a helmet on. And yeah, just being mindful of things like size of machines versus the age and size of the person operating it. You know, so if you have like a big 570 ATV, that is not for a 10-year-old to operate. It's too heavy. It's too hard for them to turn, you know, and that's so be mindful of that type of stuff as well. I'm just kind of going rapid fire here. You should not be consuming alcohol or any other substances while operating these types of vehicles or machines. Just like with tractors, if you are on roads or, you know, I know sometimes you have to cross a road to get to a field or something, be very mindful of your surroundings, you know, make sure you are looking both ways. I remember my early years in extension, I was up in central Minnesota and a young man, he was 16 or 17, died because he was crossing a road to check a field and did not look both ways and was hit by a car and killed. So that one especially, I really want to emphasize, you know, looking both ways, being aware of your surroundings. Because yes, especially those smaller vehicles, they do not offer the safety and protection a larger vehicle does, just by their nature. So just be aware of that. Buckle up, wear your helmet, look both ways. Those are the big ones. Don't use alcohol or other substances while operating them.
The only one I'll add that Emily taught me is especially as we get into fall, harvest, tired is a big one too. Mm-hmm. You know, as we get into harvest and everyone's staying up way too late to try to get things done, being tired, but also this is maybe more on the cattle side, but as you're sorting cattle with family and emotions run high and the four-wheeler, the dirt bike, it's not a place to vent those emotions and ride off angrily and too fast and those kind of things.
Yes, horsepower is not therapy.
It feels good sometimes, I'll say that.
I know it does, and I am human, I have been there. But yes, that's a really good reminder, Joe, that especially as we are, you know, feeling stressed, tired, feeling like we're maybe reaching a breaking point, just start walking. You don't need a vehicle. Let the horsepower of your body be the therapy. You need to blow off steam physically and mentally. And the way you're going to do that is walking, you know, moving your own body. That's going to make you feel so much better. It might not seem like it in the moment, but it will. And it's going to be a lot safer for everybody.
Absolutely. All right. I think that's plenty of potpourri. We've got the whole safety potpourri. We did some state fair recap. We got a little bit of H5N1 update. That's a pretty good solid potpourri.
Yeah. And it was very much the Emily show once we got past H5N1. So
absolutely.
As it should be. Exactly. It's been a while. You know, I had to step out of the spotlight. I'm ready to be back.
Perfect. All right. Well, any final thoughts, Bradley?
No, I'm just trying to be safe here. Thanks, Emily.
I appreciate that, Bradley.
Wrap us up, Em.
All right. Well, if you have questions, comments, or scathing rebuttals about today's episode, you can email those to themooseroom@umn.edu. You can find more about us at extension.umn.edu. Find us on Twitter @UMNMooseroom, @UMNFarmSafety. And of course, Bradley is on Instagram @UMNWCROCDairy. That's a wrap. Bye.
Bye.
Please tell me you heard the meow.
I'm pretty sure I got it. I'll have to look. I'll have to listen. Just a jump and a meow right in the middle of your rap.
I know. I'm like, no, I'm so close.
I think it's on there. I'll have to double check when I edit.
I mean, she was pretty close to the mic, so it had to have picked it up.